It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is, your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. We are in the building. And listen, man, y'all know I suck at introductions. So look, I'm just letting y'all know now. We're going to try something different. You know, I've been watching some Shannon Sharp, watching a little bit of, what's her name? Brandi Harvey. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They've been doing that thing on the introduction. So I was like, you know, everybody always compliment me on the research I do and that I do my homework. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get my real journalistic bag and do an intro myself, all right? So let's see, I'm gonna read out my phone. I ain't being disrespectful, I got the phone, but I'm gonna put the phone down when I'm done, all right? So let's get it done. So our guest today is singer, songwriter, record producer, executive, actor, and entrepreneur who has released 10 solo albums and mixtapes, right?
Yeah.
Working with some of the most respected names in the industry, he is the president, co-owner, and co-founder of independent record label Reach Records. But his talent does not stop there. He's also a college graduate, a devoted father, husband, a New York Times best-selling author, a thought leader, and a philanthropist whose impact goes way beyond music. In 2013, he partnered with Dwayne Wade and Joshua Du Bois on a multimedia initiative, This Is Fatherhood, as a part of the Obama administration's Fatherhood and Mentoring Initiative. And during COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, he worked with Love Beyond Walls to provide hand washing stations and food to homeless people in Atlanta. With 2 Grammy Awards and 8 Dove Awards under his belt, he made history in 2013 as the first hip-hop artist to win a Grammy for Best Gospel Album with his groundbreaking album Gravity in 2015. He continued to break barriers by becoming the first rapper to win BET Award Best Gospel Album. Please join me in welcoming a true trailblazer, a man who continues to use this platform to inspire, uplift, and bring about real change, a Houston legend. Lecrae is in the building. Y'all make some noise for Lecrae.
Wow.
Make some noise back there. You feel me? Hey, my first time ever doing that, man.
That's all good.
I told myself I ain't going to read on camera, man. But
you did good.
You did good?
Yeah, you did good, man. Yo. You missed a couple. There's a few Grammys you didn't count. But it's
I did.
No,
tell me. Let me know.
It's just a couple of them.
It's a couple
of them? It's not a big deal.
So you got 4 then?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm just trying to help you out for the future.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'm cool with that. I ain't beyond reproach now. Yo, it's funny. Doing my research,
yeah,
and learning and getting to know you. Oh my gosh, bro! I don't even know where to start, bro.
Uh oh.
It's not bad though.
All right, bet.
It's almost refreshing.
Okay.
I feel like you you try your best one to embrace this human side
mm-hmm.
of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in embracing human side of life, like we can't ignore. I don't want to say the elephant in the room. I know you don't like to be called like a gospel rapper.
Yeah, I know.
But
what
I mean,
it's the spiritual side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You doing spiritual music or bringing God into your music has yeah. kind of almost made the people want to put you in a box.
For sure.
But with that, people label you as a gospel rapper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you yourself, like I was saying, it's like you, I don't want to say you teeter the line, but like just. Sometimes it can be hard and conflicting of trying to be like just a person, but then what everybody else wants you to be, this God-fearing man, how that's supposed to look.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, this is me. I'm not even gonna lie to you, bro.
Mm.
And I'm like, I deal with that. I face those struggles all the time. And it's like, man, I know I wanna dedicate my life to God. I wanna be all about God, but at the same time, I am human.
Yeah.
And I know nobody is perfect.
For sure.
And I was wondering, like, how are you dealing with that now? Is you've been dealing with it for so long, and you would think it's done, you used to it now, but I'm pretty sure you still have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's always gonna be some elements, you know, where there's a challenge because people have an idea of what a Christian looks like, an idea of what somebody who loves God looks like. You know, they got this picture in their mind, and then when you don't fit it, then they throw you out. Mm-hmm. Or they have this expectation. Well, since you know, you say you love God, you should look like this, you should dress like this, you should sound like this, you shouldn't do this or you should do this. And so, you know, I can't live for other people's acceptance. You know what I'm saying? Because the whole idea of being a Christian is you've been accepted by God. You know, I can't earn my way to heaven. I gotta like trust that he's the one that made me the way that I am. Mm. He's the one that made me righteous, not because of anything that I did. So I'm not trying to walk around like, look at me, look how perfect I am, look how much I got it together. I'm more so saying I'm a human just like you. Mm. You know what I mean? I go through the same struggles you go through. This is how I'm dealing with it. You know what I mean? How are you dealing with it? And let's meet on that common ground. But yeah, it's always gonna come with something. It's always somebody gonna have something to say about it.
Man, I'm looking back on it, bro. Almost, I kind of want to ask you, like, it seems like you've been beat up so much by the people that you try to stand beside or be a face for.
Yeah,
and that's Christian people.
Yeah.
And my question is like, what keeps you motivated to one or two things? Continue to call yourself a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Or even like continue to do this music thing, because it could go either way. You could say, man, I'm done with both of them.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there was a period of time where I did say, yo, I'm not rocking with this faith no more, because I was tired of getting beat up. Mm. I was tired of, you know, people bashing me, and, you know, it's the religious people coming at you sideways. One of the things I had to realize is, oh yeah, that's who killed Jesus, was the religious people. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I realized, oh, I'm in good company. And then, you know, this faith ain't something that you can just walk into and walk out of. It's something that you really get born into, like reborn into, like you made a different person. So it's not like a gang where I can get jumped out. It's like, either I believe this or I don't. So regardless of what these people around me doing, this is really what I believe. So I can't let these folks dictate my relationship with God. And so I had to come to grips with, like, you know, even Gandhi said, you know, I like your Jesus. It's his followers that I have a problem with. Mm. You know what I mean? So for me, I think I just came to the place where it's like, you know what? That's why when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because people, like you said, we all imperfect. So you imperfect, even those people who following God, they still misjudge, they backbite, they slander, and it shouldn't be that way. But I got to realize everybody ain't mature. Everybody ain't growing. Everybody ain't progressing. And I had to take those on the chin and say, well, you know, what am I here for? I'm not here to please them. I'm on my mission. As far as the music is concerned, you know, I never sought out to be, I wasn't trying to be no gospel rapper. I didn't even know that existed. First of all, if I would have known, I would have thought it was corny. So I wouldn't have never tried to pursue it. I was just a kid who found God and was like, yo, I got to change what I'm talking about.
Mm.
So, you know, I always tell people, like, Lauryn Hill was like the first person I ever heard that sounded like, oh, this is what I want to do. Because she was talking about her faith and her journey. And I remember just, you know, as a kid in my room, like, yeah, that's what I want to do. So the music part, I'm always going, that's just in me. And telling the truth and the lens how I see it from, that's in me too. So ain't nothing going to stop me from that.
Yo, but even like, if you can go back to the spiritual side.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't going to lie to you, man. For me, I don't think I ever talked about this, like, I don't even say, like, public
here
at
we
all.
Go.
Like, I think the hardest part for me is, like, wanting to make it to heaven.
Okay.
But it being so many ideas, ideologies, and teachings, right? We talk about false prophets, but everybody talk about false prophets. So it's like, who do we know? How can we tell when it's the true word of God, right? How can you tell when it's really God speaking to you? Because even like doing my research on you, and it's like one of the, I think the couple, they were saying like how they had the husband was saying how he had a like a prophecy, like was prophesied that he was doing all this stuff. And I'm like, but people say this.
Yeah.
And I think you even said it. How can we say that God didn't come to him?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Right. But the same way with that, is the same way with how the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of God. And it's like, bro, like, man, I just want to make it to heaven. And it's like, everybody is teaching. And it's like, bro, how do I know which one to choose?
Yeah, I love that. First of all, I respect the fact that you put that out there. Like, because a lot of people wouldn't be that honest and transparent and just be real about it like that. Like, but it's funny because I remember being there too. So I studied a lot of religions because, like, that was kind of my issue. It was like, yo, when I die, where do I go? You know what I'm saying? Like, the first issue I had was this. Is there a God? That was my first issue, right? So then I had to be like, okay, is there a God? Like, if there's a God, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do I know? So first I was like, I don't know if I believe there's a God. And then I remember my homeboy, I was in high school, he said, yeah, ain't no God, it's just us, man. We got to figure this out on our own. And that kind of scared me when I thought about it, because I was like, bro, I just learned how to drive. You know what I'm saying? I got to figure out life and death and everything on my own. Like, the whole thing is on my shoulders. That was kind of scary to me. So I was like, I don't know if I like that. And then the other thing that rocked me was like, if there's no God, then we don't have no purpose, right? Because we just cosmic accidents. We just atoms and cells. So nothing matters. But ain't nobody living like nothing matters. I want to matter. I know you probably want to matter. Like, so if there's no God, nothing matters. So who cares? So I can't get pissed off if somebody steal my money, my car, because nothing really matters. Nobody should be going to prison because there's no such thing as right or wrong, because there's no good or bad or good or evil because there's no God. So I think first I had to land the plane there like, yo, now there has to be a God because there's a standard of good and evil. Every human being knows like right from wrong. You know what I'm saying? So there is a standard. So there's a God. Now, which God is it? You know, that was my next thing. So, man, I'm studying Islam. I'm studying Rastafarianism. I'm not fooling with Christianity because that's like the go-to. That's like grandma thing. I'm like, I'm good on that. I'm studying Buddhism. And it's a lot of beautiful principles in all of them. Rastafarianism, because I smoked a lot. I was like, I like this because I can smoke. You know what I mean? A lot of great principles in all of them. But the common denominator was, you got to be on your P's and Q's. In Islam, you know what I'm saying? There's so many things that are haram. There's so many things that are like, yo, you got to have it together. You better make sure you're getting your prayers right. And nobody can guarantee you heaven in Islam. You just, it's upon Allah's mercy. So it's like, dang, ain't no guarantee. I got to get on my grind. And I was like, bro, I like pork. You know what I'm saying? I like these women. Like, I was like, yo, I can't keep up. Buddhism, I got to reach enlightenment. I got to like get to a place where, you know what I'm saying, I have enlightenment. Or Hinduism, you know, it's like I. And then finally, when I said, all right, let me research Christianity, it was the only one that made sense, because it was like, God knows you imperfect. You'll never be able to get yourself to heaven in your own strength. You'll never be able to be good enough. You would need a perfect person to reach down and pull you up. And that was the whole idea of Christianity, is God became human, came to the ghetto, lived a horrible life, was killed by his own people in order to take all of our wrong on his back so that when he resurrects, we do too. I said, I rock with that. But then, like you, I'm a skeptic. I'm like, how do I know this is true? This ain't true. So I really went to research mode. I started like going to Bible institutes and reading stuff. And a lot of stuff is a little skeptical, but the more you look at the truth, the easier it is to spot the fakes. Like, last thing I'll say is just like, when it comes to like diamonds or like counterfeit money, like they don't teach you how to study the counterfeits. They teach you to study the real deal. So you know it so closely, when you see a fake dollar, a fake $100 bill, you know that's not real. Or you see a fake diamond, you know that's not real, because you spend so much time with the real thing. So I think for me, I just spent so much time with the truth, I can see stuff now. I can see like, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it. And it's a process, but I think, man, that's part of it, is just God just opening your eyes to be like, all right, I see it.
But how, so like, even like they say, like, our whole purpose on earth is to tell somebody else about God so they can get, say, eternal life, right? Have eternal life and get the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
You being somebody who's been on the opposite side, having people like constantly judge you and pick at you and ridicule you. But when you know the truth, it's like you kind of want your people, you want your people to be exposed to the truth so they can get to heaven as well. Because that's like, the highest form of, I don't know, celebration that you can have, right?
Sure. Yeah.
How do you balance that without kind of coming off judgy? Like, because it's things that I've learned to this day where just through my walk of Christianity,
yeah,
things are really different from what I was exposed to being young and then a lot of my peers are exposed to now, right?
Yeah.
And I want, my only goal is like, bro, I just want you to get the truth so you can get to the kingdom heaven with me. But when our truths don't coincide or they look different, it could come off judgmental, and that's the last thing I want to do. But
So for me,
how do you balance that?
That's a process. It's been a process. And I done dropped the ball a million times, right? Like, I done dropped the ball a million times where, you know, I don't come from a Christian family. So my mom was like, yo, what you on right now? All you talk about is Jesus. Like, it felt judgmental. It's like, yeah, but you need to. And then somebody told me, they said, yo, man, stop preaching to her and live out what you believe.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, live it out. Like, when the last time you cut the grass for her? When the last time you washed the dishes? When the last time you cleaned up the kitchen for her? That's going to speak way louder than you keeping coming to her every day trying to tell her about, yeah, God, let me tell you what God said. Let me tell you what the word say. Let me, like, live it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So somebody is interested in your life, like, yo, that's respectable, like, how you move. I see how you move. You know what I mean? Why do you live like this? That's going to speak louder anyway. It's like that. Anything. It's like, if you grew up in the streets, and you see a dude always barking and he like, yeah, I'm the toughest, da 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 da. It's like, you gotta show me.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta show me. If that's really what you about, you gotta show me. Cause I don't believe all this barking. So, but somebody who really move like that, I believe it. Or somebody who always talking about, yeah, I got money, I got this, I got that. People who got money like that, they don't talk about it like that.
Mm.
They show you. You gonna see it. So for me, it's like, I don't gotta go around. I'm not here to condemn nobody. I'm not here to be your judge. But I want you to be able to walk away saying, yo, I respect buddy. Like, I see love in him. I see joy. I see peace. Like, I want that. You know what I mean? Like, let's wrap on that. Because at the end of the day, I ain't got no heaven or hell to put you in. All I really want for you is to be a healthier version of yourself, is to understand what you was made to be. You know what I mean? So, I mean... people are judgmental, but I feel like people are judgmental and self-righteous because they learn something and they see something that's wrong, but they don't realize it ain't their job to fix it.
Mm.
It's their job to either help a person or pray for the person. You know what I mean? Last thing I'll say is, like, if I get on a bus and I'm sitting down on a bus or the subway, whatever, and a blind man get on the bus with me, he got his cane, He tapping, he step on my foot, bump into me. I'm not going to be mad at him. I'm not going to be like, yo, man, watch where you going. I'm going to show him where to go. Show him how to get to where he need to be. I think that's the way we got to be with our friends. If we see him, like, moving blind, you can't be like, yo, stupid. That's a dumb decision. You dumb. God don't like that. It's like, you can't really see well. Let me show you, you know what I mean? Let me lovingly guide you to a better seat. And that's how I try to move.
Nah, you know, it's fine. I think that comes from a passion, though. Like, because even, like, when I first got introduced to, like, the truth, as I call it, when you first get introduced to God or reintroduced to God, it's like you're so passionate you want everybody to see. Yeah. So now it's like, I think it's like so many, it's different tiers to, like, being saved. Like, you got your first tier is, like, when you're super excited, you go around telling everybody.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, you might slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you get the second guess. It's like, whatever. But I think it comes from the passion that sometimes we got to understand or know how to differentiate when it's just, they're just passionate about God.
Yeah.
They don't mean no harm.
Yeah.
He just want to give everybody the truth like he got it. Because when you first learn something, you want everybody to know. You feel me? Like, it's when you like something, like, I like to play space. I want everybody, let's play space. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I like the,
facts.
You feel me? So I get it.
Facts.
Yo, how old were you when you first got introduced and you asked your friend, yo, you want to know about God? He's like, just us down here. How old were you then? And he was like, man,
17.
I got to be somebody.
17.
So even in that moment, because your pops left.
Yep, pops left.
Your mom sent you.
Stay with my grandmother.
To your grandma, right?
Yeah.
So in this moment, I can only imagine as a 17-year-old, it's like, you probably feel by yourself.
Yeah.
You probably feel like you're not good enough. You probably feel like, damn, like, it would be easy to convince you that we are here by ourselves.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it? Why didn't you?
because you
were still
that's
there.
A good that's I like okay I see what you're doing. I like how you asking questions. That's what's up. You know what? It's funny that you asked that because I did feel like I was on my own. You know what I mean? Like, and I was maneuvering. Like, I'm riding a city bus in middle school. You know, I'm like a city kid. I can maneuver by myself. I stayed at home by myself since I was like 7 years old. Mom got to work, go stay with grandma, whatever. I knew how to do so many things. So I had a sense of like, I got this. But when it came to like, you got to figure out your whole life. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Everything, like I got to figure it all out. And I'm 17, so I'm on the verge of being a grown man and being out the house, and I'm feeling like, yo, I don't have all of that figured out. I don't know if I like that. Like, that's a lot of weight to carry. It didn't make me say, there got to be a God. It made me say, I was kind of sad because I was like, dang, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, it's like, that's a lot of pressure for an 18-year-old, and then you out on your own, and you like, man, I ain't had no dad. Nobody show me how this works. There's so many things I realize I don't know. And the way I'm wired, I got to have the pieces together. I got to be, okay, what's this going to be? What's that? I got to figure this out. I got to figure that out. And I didn't have that. So I think it put me in a state of like paranoia. Like, nah, I don't like that. Why are you so confident that, yeah, it's just us? I'm like, nah, that's crazy. Because I don't know how to figure out the meaning of life for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't got all that figured out. I'm just trying to make it day by day. Yeah.
It's so many questions I got, bro, because, again, like, me doing my research, I said it before, but it just seems like I see a man that was, like, just, like, had to withstand so much pain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, it just, I don't know, it just made me feel the way, because I'm like, damn, bro, because I feel that way. Like, just the constant misinterpretations of the message, right? Like, I feel like I constantly see you trying to, like, fight back of like, yo, like, bro, it's not like that. Like, I'm one of the good people, bro. Like, you could trust me. Like, I'm not one of them, but it's like they continue to put you in that box of somebody that's a bad person, right? And but again, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm gonna be straight up. It remind me of your everyday Christian. I'm gonna be straight up with you.
Yeah.
Super judgmental. Like, they super want to point the finger.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Like,
but you know what? This is the thing. I think like, The loudest person in the room get all the attention. You know what I'm saying? So I think sometimes there's like a misconception. Like it's the loudest person in the room is getting all the attention. So for a long time, I'll just use this as an example, like the South. For a long time, before Atlanta was like the land of every opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Like, people look down on the South. They was like, man, they country, they don't know this, they don't got that, they don't understand this. And it was like, nah, you just seen a couple loud characters that made you feel like that's the South. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's what tends to happen in everything. So even like within the faith communities, it'll be them loud folks that suck all the oxygen out the room, and you be like, that's what you think it is. So even like with women, it'll be like, they see a couple of terrible dudes. Like, I was just at the studio the other day talking to a young dude. You know what I'm saying? He's 25, got a career, solid dude, great character. And, you know, he like, man, they ain't choosing me right now. And the reason why I'm like, why you think they're not choosing? He said, because I'm safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, the young girls want a little bit of suspense, a little bit of like, maybe some danger in here or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, ladies will be like, dudes are trash, because some loud individuals on IG or TikTok or whatever are the loudest ones. I feel like it's the same in the faith community. It's like everybody going after these super pastors who make all this money and be manipulating people. But every day you pass these little bitty churches every day, and there's some pastor in there just grinding, just loving people, just praying for people. He ain't getting no bread. He work another 9 to 5. Don't nobody never pay no attention to him because he not loud. You know what I'm saying? So it be the loud people online who be talking crazy. Like, oh, crazy, you this, you that, you yeah, da, 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 da. And I'm like, all right, bet. Y'all loud. that's fine. It make it seem like y'all are the general population of everybody's perspective. Mm. But then it's like, I be walking through the mall, and somebody like, yo, man, what you said, bro, that, man, changed everything for me. And I'm like, but he ain't loud. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I think we just got to get off that mindset of, like, listening to all of them. Them folks, they just loud, bro. Like, they ain't the main voices. It's a lot of people out there who really solid. And that's what I had to start learning, because all I was listening to was them loud voices for a long time. Then I was like, yo, man, y'all just the loud ones. It's a lot of real solid folks who really rocking with me. And if I start listening to these voices, I'll be better. And like some, my man said a while ago, he said, you know, it's a lot of people out there who think I can do no wrong. I'm the greatest thing walking the face of the earth. It's a lot of people out there who think I'm the worst person in existence. Both of them are wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the greatest thing walking the earth. I'm not the worst person in existence. I need people who are willing to take the time to know me and then see, like, okay, I see what it is. He's just a human, like I'm a human, and respect how I'm navigating this journey of life.
Mm.
Yeah.
But like you said, it was a point where you was paying attention to that, right? What was the light? What was the awakening moment like? Okay, it's a lot of people, but it's so many people that I'm overlooking. What was that wake up call?
Mental health, man. Mental health breakdown. Like people act like that social media stuff ain't real.
They can say it's not real all they want.
Yeah, they act like it's not real, like it don't have an effect on them. And they like, yo, man, like, oh, why Meek Mill crashing out on social media? He a millionaire, da 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 da. That stuff get under your skin. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he crashing out because that stuff starts to get under your skin, especially if it's not true. And then it compounds. So I can't speak for Meek. I can speak for me. For me, it was compounding. So it was like, I'd had a crazy day. Something crazy happening in the house. Like, at this point in time, like, around this time in my situation, my marriage was trash. You know what I'm saying? We going through it. You know, I'm dealing with, you know, a lot of racist stuff going on. And then I'm, like, having some faith battles. And so it's just a bad day, right? Me and wifey not getting along. Some crazy racist situation just happened. I got blackballed over here. Then I pick up my phone. Lecrae, you're trash. I'm like, yo, I'm about to crash out. Like, you know, that was the last thing I needed, that little microaggression that somebody just threw at me. So what started happening was, I'm just running a million miles an hour, going. And I'm not realizing, like, every time I pick up this phone, I'm ignoring all of the positive. I'm going straight to the negative, and I'm just documenting it. And then my response to it was, because at this point in time, I'm speaking up for, like, Philando Castile and, you know, like, George Floyd, all of them folks. Like, this is before George Floyd, but I'm speaking up for everybody who getting murdered in the streets.
Like, so, you still was getting criticized.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So I'm speaking up for them, but I got folks on a, you know, real racist folks who been my fans, but they didn't know how I felt about black culture. Mm. So then they saying crazy stuff to me. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go harder. So I go harder, they go harder. I go harder, they go harder. And then it just turned into, like, every day I feel like I'm in a war, you know what I mean, with these mindsets, to the point where I would go places, I would do shows, and people would be like, nah, he can't. We not coming. We don't support him. They protested me. You know what I'm saying? And then it started affecting my bottom line. And I started really spazzing out because I had a show in Philly the year before. I did that show. It was like 1,500 people. Then I go back, it's 300.
Mm.
And most of them black. Jeez. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Like, this affecting my bottom line now. So I'm just, like, spiraling. And, you know, it got me to such a dark place mentally that I think I had to just back up. You know, I had to back off of everything. I had to get myself back together mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And that was a process. Like, that's a whole nother long journey. But I'll just say I hit so far rock bottom that there wasn't nowhere else to go but up. Mm. And then I learned some tools to stop listening to all these voices and to be like, all right, they just talking. And everything ain't for social media now. I learned that too. Like, we feel like we got to talk about everything. Like, you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody can't handle that. Everybody don't deserve your vulnerability. You may want to talk about, like, my daughter's really sick right now. You don't got to share that with them folks. Tell your people. They don't deserve that level of vulnerability. You can give it to them if you want to, but what they going to do with that? You trust these strangers with that level of, you know, transparency? You know what I mean? So I just say I'm leave it alone.
Yo, I ain't going to lie to you, bro. I empathize because they say, like, to whom much is given, much is required, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever want to walk in your shoes, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. And I'm a strong dude. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
I pride myself on being a strong dude. But I say that because, like, people have no idea, bro. I'm just thinking about it, bro. Your pops left, right? Yeah. Your mom's always working. She sent you with your grandmother. So you're raised by your grandmother. She's older.
Yeah.
So it was a generation where, like, certain things we couldn't do, yeah. right? And especially older than me. So your grandma's probably around my mom's age. My mom's 75, about to be 76.
Yeah.
So, like, they taught us in a very, very different way than parenting is now.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no talking back.
Yep.
Ain't no why.
Yep.
Ain't no why. Because I said so. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a sense of, but then she's also a woman, and I'm going to tread lightly. I'm being careful, but I'm being real, and I consume both our upbringing.
Yeah.
Women have a sense to lead with emotions.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, okay.
They speak how they feel, mm-hmm. right? Especially my mom's at a time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm unable to speak how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming up already feeling unheard. I'm coming up already feeling like the pressures of wherever I'm from is on my back.
Yeah.
So anytime anybody want to say something, I want to snap.
Yeah.
In the most ignorant way, and I don't mean it like this, follow me. At the end of the day, I'm still a nigga.
I know exactly what you said.
And because I'm trying to turn my life around, I'm trying to be God-fearing. I'm trying to walk in the right direction, right?
Boy.
What people don't see is the battle between me trying to leave alone everything that I got on my back that's pulling me back. My grandparents, my moms, the me feeling by myself, everything. I'm trying to be this God-fearing man. I'm trying to show y'all that we don't have to be a product of our environment.
Yeah.
Y'all have no idea.
Yeah.
But you can't slip. Not you. Not Lecrae. I can slip. I can make a mistake.
Yeah.
I ain't getting Grammys. Feel me? People don't see the pressure that it is to be that celebrity and be the face of something. Like, so y'all can go ahead and criticize me all y'all want, but when I'm out in public and I see somebody in public,
yeah,
you gotta, how hard is it to, like, refrain from going back to everything that you knew at a time?
Yeah, you know what it's like? If you ever seen the movie Baby Boy with Tyrese and Ving Rhames in the kitchen, and Tyrese get up, he start saying something crazy to Ving Rhames, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Ving just like,
yeah, he get up.
You know what I mean?
You don't know him.
And then they're like, get off of me. Like, I'm trying not to become that nigga. You know what I mean? I'm trying so hard. Like, I've been in prison. I don't want to be that no more. You bringing that out of me. And it's like so many times, that's how you feel. It's like, y'all bringing that out of me. I had to go to therapy, bro, because my coping mechanisms was all terrible. Like, you know, we was talking earlier, like, you know, like, part of the reason why I quit drinking was obviously, like, health, like, you know, taking care of better my health. Other part was it was a coping mechanism for me because it was, like, it was too frequent. It was too frequent. It's like, oh, now I'm, like, relying on this. And, you know, my pops is a drug addict, too, so I know addictions in my family. I wasn't thinking about me being addicted to alcohol because I'm, like, I'm grinding, I'm getting it, I'm making everything happen. But I was, like, nah, I'm dependent on this to deal with the stress. Cause I noticed every time I got off stage, got a drink. Every time I get through dealing with something, like, it's like, I gotta relieve the stress. And it became like my go-to to the point where I'm like, I'm walking around in the airport and I'm like, man, I feel like this is an ulcer, but I can't tell. And I'm like, nah, I'm bugging. Like, you know what I mean? I'm drinking too much. So it's like I was suffocating all of that anger, all that frustration with, you know, with drinking and then, you know, coming to Zans and so on and so forth. It's like, let me just push it down. But then I'm like, nah, Pops, that was Pops' escape. I'm not going that route. So I had to go to therapy, you know what I mean? Like, and it was my last resort. And then I had to be real in therapy because I didn't want to be real. I was like, I don't really want to do this. I don't know you. I don't trust you. What if you a fan? Like, this is a lot. You know, I had to really, like, all right, I'm going to just, you know, I'm so low now, I don't care. I'm going to tell you everything that's going on. And, man, that lady saved my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally saved my life because she helped me navigate all of that stuff and process all that stuff. And I had a safe place to process because a lot of times we think our partner, you know, is supposed to be that place to process all that. That's a lot of weight to put on somebody. And they ain't trained for that. You know what I mean? My wife is like, bro, I'm here for you, but not like that. I don't got that. Like, what you need is a specialist. You know what I mean? So I think that helped me a lot, was going through that process. And then really leaning on my brothers, you know what I'm saying? Like for real, like not on some, like that's my dog. If he needs some money, I got him. I put some money on, you know what I mean? But like, we so intertwined to where it's like, there's nothing off the table. Like nothing's off the table. Like whatever we dealing with, we going through, it's on the table because, man, that gotta be dealt with. And we don't want nobody to have to go through that by themselves. Yeah.
Yo, you speak about your wife a lot, man. And I think it was one moment where you said, like, y'all got married almost because of the pressure of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I was wondering, like, what was at the core that kept y'all, though? Like, what was that y'all had in each other that kept y'all? I know therapy and things like that, but yeah. what did y'all have at the core?
At the core, what we had, for real, was we was friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like we was legit friends. Like, I knew her. You know, I met her at 18 years old. So fast forward 10 years down the line, we get married. I had all that time. I knew her as my friend. So even when it was like, I don't like you as a wife, we still had that foundation of friendship that we could build on. You know what I mean? So I think that's what, I won't say that's what kept us together, but it's what gave us hope that we should stay. You know what I mean? It was like, nah, we really love each other. We really enjoy each other when we healthy and good. And we just got to start over. You know, we've been grinding so long. I think everybody get together. It's different stages. Like, you get together, and in some seasons, you know, you face to face where it's like, you know, you can be face to face. You can see each other, and that's where we are now. But when we started, you know, we was back to back. We was dealing with all the trials and tribulations and get the money right and do this. And you know what I'm saying? Then we had kids, we side by side. It's like, all right, we got to raise these kids. We got to figure this out. And then 10 years go by and you like, we washed. We ain't done no face to face. And it's like, we got to start over. And build that friendship again that we had, because that's how we got together, was being friends. And so, you know, one of our things was sports. That's one of our common interests. So I said, man, I'm going to cash out. I'm going to get these seasons.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Tickets. We going to these games. We start going to games. Going to football games, basketball, soccer, all of them. And it just started, that was our thing. Mm. You know what I mean? And it was just like, we cheering, we laughing, we talking about stuff, we laughing at people in the crowd, like crazy stuff happening. One time a dude was wilding, he was drinking too much, he about to throw something on her. And I've been in martial arts and I was like, bae, I was really about to handle buddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had my moves in my brain, and we laughing, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's what rekindled the relationship.
Mm. Yeah. So when you say, like, the church, it was a pressure to get married.
Yeah.
What was that pressure?
It was just like, you know, you young, you just meet God, they instantly afraid that you're going to just be wilding. You know what I mean? Like, they want you to not get the wilding and smashing everything left and right. So, like, y'all get married. So y'all don't be just out here smashing, you know? And that was kind of the thought process. And you know, for me, I thought that was legit. There wasn't no compatibility. It wasn't no, like, are y'all a good fit? It wasn't none of that. It was just like, do she love God? Do you love God? y'all need to quit playing around and get married. And it wasn't no, like, I was blessed that we had developed a friendship. I really was blessed because I didn't know nothing else. I just knew they was like, you love God, she love God. And I remember asking them, you know, one of the pastors at the time, I said, man, I don't know who to date because I don't know who to choose. He said, man, find a woman who love God and is willing to follow you. And I'm thinking of, like, at the time, all the ladies in the ministry, I'm like, that's half of them. You know what I'm saying? He was like, well, pick one. Mm. So, I mean, everybody can't do this. I'm just saying I was blessed. You know what I'm saying? The ladies did like me. So I had the option to choose. So I just said, man, next one that walk around the corner, that's the one I'm a pursue. Because I couldn't make up my mind. I was like, I don't know. I'm paralyzed. And by the grace of God, she walked around the corner and I said, all right, that's the one I'm going to go chase after. So then I went after her. But, you know, I also did that too because where I'm coming from, the lifestyle I was coming out of, you willing to do whatever you got to do because you don't want to go back. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm so scared of going back. What do I got to do? You know what I mean?
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Do you think... Of course, when we knew in our faith, like, we trying to do everything in our power to get closer to God, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes that's, like, making the easiest decision.
Yeah.
So, well, you wasn't together yet. So I remember the time, for me, I didn't want to, I like drinking.
Yeah.
Cursing is something that I do, yeah. Right? I'm trying to stop. But I had a girl. Yeah. And I've been with my girl for so long.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, getting married was like, why not? It was easy. Like, I'm doing this for God.
Yeah.
But like you said, man, I feel like they don't talk about the compatibility things. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about, they say, yeah, go to therapy or premarital counseling, but what is that really?
Yeah.
That ain't really nothing.
Well, it's a runway.
Yeah. Like
it ain't the whole, yeah.
Yeah, you feel me? So it's like, because they not really introducing what the things that can keep us together.
Right.
They just saying that we should be together, get married.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I could do that.
Yeah.
But then where's the help?
Boy, you need that. That's why I say, but even choosing your community is, because I mean, I'm grateful God put me where he put me. That probably wasn't the healthiest place for me to be. I'm grateful now. You know, my church, my community, my pastors, all of them is legit. They brilliant people now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's part of the struggle just being from where we from and being in the Black community is like, you know, we didn't get access to a lot of the information, a lot of the education like we could have, you know what I mean? So I get it, you know, but to what you were saying though, I think people got to follow their convictions, man, because I'm not the type of person that's like, cussing and drinking is what makes you a serious follower of God or not. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not that person. Like, everything can be abused, but it's about the intention. Mm. You know what I'm saying? What was the first miracle? Jesus turned water into wine. Mm. He clearly didn't have no problem with drinking, but it's what's our intention. Mm. My intention was not to be merry and have a good time. My intention was to suffocate my problems and not deal with stuff, to not be sober. You know what I'm saying? So it's what's the intention. Like, my intention was never to just like, yeah, I'm gonna have a drink. I can't remember the last time I had a drink. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I would never go out and have a drink or two. That was never my style. I'm like, we finna get, like, I'm going home faded.
So you was getting drunk in public?
Because I could handle it. Because you would have never known. My decision-making was bad, but my countenance, straight. I could drink half a bottle.
But where you was drinking, like, I'm like, because somebody see Lecrae at a bar.
Yeah, you gonna see me at the bar. What you doing in here? You know what I'm saying? Well, yo, I just seen Lecrae. Yeah, what you doing in here? Yo, I seen you at the club. Yeah. You, what you doing in there? Well, I'm not, what? You not what? You don't love God? You do love God. So what you doing in here? Why you judging me? If you ain't here, we ain't here together. You know, so sometimes people be like, yo, I respect that. I respect that. I see what you on. One time I had a dude, it's years back. I'm in Sweet Lounge in Atlanta. The dude come up to me. You know, because back then, the DJs is playing my records, too. They playing Blessings with me and Ty Dolla Sign. Like, yo, we got Lecrae in the building. And like, what's up? What's up? You know what I'm saying? And then some dude came over to me. He's like, yo, I know you be on them hoes, bro. And I'm like, nah. He was like, you lying, bro. I'm like, nah. But his brain can't. His brain is like, if I'm in here and that's what I'm on, that gotta be what you on.
Projecting, yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, nah, I'm really just here with my homies. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong for trying to suffocate my problems through this alcohol. But I ain't on that type of time. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, shit, that's a, bro, that's opening the door to, we gotta talk about it, the Diddy parties, right? I mean, you did it. You did it yourself. I mean, shit. But, so wait. First of all,
yeah.
Because again, I am a man and I do care about the person, right?
Yeah.
So it ain't just about a story. I saw you say, like, maybe I shouldn't have said this.
Right.
But why?
Okay, because now I'm
before we even get to
let me clarify. I ain't never been to one of those Diddy parties. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like them private, secret, crazy.
I mean, it's over now. You can't clarify nothing. The Diddy party is a Diddy party. So
yeah.
It is what it is.
But what I'm saying is,
I'm messing with you.
What I'm saying is, I don't know nothing about that private situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like where I'm at, the media is invited. There's media there. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm at, it's fans who look in it. They can look inside. The gate is right there. You can look and see who's all in there. And I know because some of my homies couldn't get in the gate because they was outside, like, seeing us get in.
You used to mess up friend, man. You supposed to bring your homies with
hey,
you?
Hey, they didn't have the right clothes on. That ain't my fault.
All right.
But all I'm saying is, man, it's media there. It's food trucks there. Everybody's there. Like, it's 400 people in that mug. So it's not like some private, like, secret room. Now, I don't know what was going on in the house. We was outside, so we outside. I don't know what's happening in the house. I'm not invited into the house. It's a velvet rope. You know what I'm saying? And some people went back behind the velvet rope, but there was a bodyguard right there. Now, what went on behind the velvet rope, I can't tell you. But the people who was outside was not allowed to go back there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm there with Nelly. Me and Nelly chopping it up. Chris Brown's having a dance off with some people. Jimmy Iovine and Madonna over there chilling. Like, it's just a barbecue. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like this. I think people, when you don't have access to it, your brain is creating scenarios. But it was a barbecue. It was like a outdoor, think of anything outdoor, a mixer. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't what people, now, if he have some other kind of parties where it get freaky deaky, I don't know nothing about that. I wasn't privy to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I've been to plenty Hollywood events and parties, Grammy week, BET weekend. It's always something you getting invited to somebody's house or somebody's mixer. That's what people, you know, in the industry, Cash Money having a party. You go to the Cash Money party. It's execs there. It's blah, blah, blah. It's not like a private little thing. It's like, oh, so-and-so's going to perform. You know what I'm saying? So I've been to plenty of those types of things. I only been to one, like, private party, and it wasn't Diddy. It was a person in Atlanta, and I don't know how out of hand it got, but it looked sketchy to me, and I was like, all right, I'm out.
That's the party you said you had to leave at a certain time?
I saw two dudes, you know, making out on the couch, and I was like, oh, they really going crazy. Like, it's just a party here, and these two dudes going crazy like they at their own house. And then I got upstairs, I seen another girl and another dude making out, and I said, oh, it's about to be one of them. I'm a slide.
But you said, like I said, you was like, you maybe you shouldn't have said that.
But only because in that era, like, media don't give you no, like, they take the clip they want and then they run wild with it. So for me, I was like, I should have been smarter and realized, you know what, I probably shouldn't have said that, because just like they might take a clip of this, you can't clarify. Like, if I say, you know, my friend said God ain't real, and I was like, I feel that, they'll stop it right there. See, Lecrae agreed with his friend, you know, that God ain't real. It's like, that's what media does right now. So I was like, all right, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yo, as much as I want to talk about that, it's other, like, more important shit. I'm sorry. I do want to talk about that, but whatever. that's gonna get the clicks and the likes. But
yeah. It's
you mentioned good. Somewhere where you had white friends and they were able to like wrestle with you about their ideas on racism, right? Yeah. You have people that aren't Christians that's able to wrestle their ideas with you about not being Christian. And basically what you were saying is they have the grace to come to you, speak freely, and know that you're still going to love them for who they are.
Yeah.
But you don't feel like you get that from your people. Or is this before you found out that you got these people aren't the majority? Was that before then?
It was before then, but also even still now, it's still like, I think there's just a level of discomfort that people, they scared to like, again, that's some of that is just America, bro. Like, that's just, like being black in America, probably being anything other than white. White in America is the majority ethnicity. So the way they move is kind of the standard. Mm. So when we move, historically, we've had to like, oh, I got to change the way I speak when I enter this room. I got to change the way I dress when I enter this room because I got to match their standard. That you don't never see white people worrying about that. They're not like, oh, I hope I'm black enough. Mm. Like, right? Unless they want to be cool, but it don't stop them from excelling in society. Like, ain't nobody going to be like, you're not like, man, I don't know if I talk black enough to get a job. Nobody says that. Mm. You know what I mean? Unless you want to be a rapper or something, like, it's not a real thing. Like, you don't, no one, if you want to go work for IBM or Apple or Delta, you're not thinking, I hope I sound black enough to work here. Mm. But constantly, black people or whoever, minorities are constantly thinking, I hope I can adjust myself to fit the standard. And the standard is white. Mm. So what I'm saying is, like, we know all about white culture. We live it and breathe it every day. We know all your shows. We know all your songs. We know Jonas Brothers. We know all the TV shows, but you don't know our world. Mm. So what I'm saying is, because there's a lack of information and insight, my white friends, they admit, I don't know your world, right? Can I ask these questions without it being sketchy? But I don't get that freedom. You know what I'm saying? To say, hey, let me tell you about more. Oh, here we go with the race stuff. Oh, here we go. And I'm like, bro, I'm not even on that. I'm just.
But even, you just giving me the alley-oops to all the messy shit. But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Even within our own ethnic group.
Yeah.
With our own people. It's my dog. I love you, bro. But I got to go there. You don't get that grace with the white people, but even Christians, though. Like, for example. You say righteous and ratchet.
Yeah.
Right? And then my dog, I love you, D1. But now you got people, other prominent figures coming straight at you about like what you're saying instead of maybe trying to understand.
Yeah.
Right? Just like you said, like not giving you the leeway to really like explain or break things down in your intention.
I think with D1, I think he means well. I think he generally is like, man, I want people to be better. And, you know, the way that whole situation went down was he was talking about ratchetness, something about ratchet, right? And I was like, I don't agree with that. But I also have... It was starting to, like, catch wind in, like, his commentary. And, like, I think Van Lathan, like, shot back at him, said something, like, you know what I'm saying? And there were some points that he said that I did agree with, some points I didn't agree with. But I also knew, like, I was about to release a line of Righteous and Ratchet. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, that's going to cause confusion. Let me get in front of it and let me speak on Righteous and Ratchet.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want that to, you know, let me say my piece before this line drop. So I say my piece. He like, yo, man, I got to respond to what you just said. You know what I'm saying? Publicly. I don't move like that. Like that could be a generational thing. I just don't move like that. The way I'm raised, we handle stuff behind the scenes. I don't go public back and forth with people like that. Like, you got my number, I got yours, let's handle it. So he handled it publicly. I hit him on the side like, bro, we can talk about this. You know what I'm saying? It's all love. I ain't tripping. Blah, blah, blah. We cleared it up. I don't know if he believed that my line. So then I dropped the clothing line. I don't know if he believed that that was already coming. I think he didn't believe it. He was like, so you just going to drop a clothing line? Like, you really trying to go to war with me on this type of stuff? And I'm like, nah, it's not even that type of time. It's really just that was already coming. So it really ain't have nothing to do with you. So then offline, we get to talking about the term ratchet. He like, I'm from Louisiana. This is where it's birthed. I said, I feel you. I said, I think it's a miscommunication because the way I see ratchet is like ghetto. I see them as interchangeable. He see it as more like raunchy, sinful, nasty. You know what I'm saying? I see it as ghetto. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the right song come on at my house and my wife stand on top of the countertop like, hey, that to me, that's ratchet. You a ratchet. You know what I'm saying? But she still loved the Lord. That's just her song. She like, you know what I mean? And so that's how I'm looking at it. So I'm like, yeah, I'm ratchet and righteous. Like, I'm still a little ghetto. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still a little hood, but I still love the Lord. So that's where the miscommunication. He's like, nah, brother, you can't tell me that you don't get what I'm trying. And I was like, I really honestly see it differently than you. But if that's how you see it, I respect it. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't handle stuff online. Like, that's not how I move. So I don't know, you know, that could be a generational gap. That could be, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and say, because I know people say, oh, he was clout chasing. He just clout chasing. That's why he does everything online. I'm not going to say that because I don't know that man's heart. I just know I don't move like that. You know what I'm saying? So if people want to have a judgment against me, you know, if it's legit, shoot me the DM. And if it's like, if it's worth my time and my effort, I'll go back and forth with you on it to have some understanding. But I forgot the name of the law. It's a law, like a philosophical law, where you not really going to change their perspective because every argument you have, they just building up another one to come back at you.
Almost like you're digging a deeper hole.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this is less about D1. Like I said, that's like my friend. Yeah. We pray together. Shout out to my dog.
Yeah.
My only thing about it, because I don't agree with everything, but none of my friends, not even my mother. So like, I don't feel, I'm cool in disagreeing with somebody.
Yeah.
My thing is, what's wrong with that? Even if it is sinful.
Yeah.
I got a long way in my walk. So I can say this, you might can't say this.
Yeah.
Why can't you quote Corinthians and Cardi B? Why can't you be righteous and right? Because at the end, so what I will say is maybe being a public figure promoting that, all right,
yeah,
cool, I get that. Because again, to whom much is given, much is required. So right. I can understand that argument.
Right.
But trying to live under this construct that it can't happen, we're ignoring the duality that we have as humans. How can you say that?
To me, all I'm trying to do is create. Like, again, I'm not trying to promote the chaos that a lot of times our people promote. Like, it does frustrate me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do want there to be better representation of who we are as a people. But I also just realized, man, even the Bible said a leper is not going to change his spots. Mm. Like, sinners going to sin, bro. Like, you're not going to convince a person, like, to be something that, like, be better. We can't be better. That's why we need Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
technically, that's why we're here, but
yeah, you're not gonna convince somebody to be better. So I guess can't, like, people are like, yo, why you didn't tell so and so to stop doing this? And I'm like, it's just morality, man. Like, that ain't no heart change. Like, I mean, yeah, you can mask it, but will we just want them to mask it? Mm. So I'm not trying to promote nonsense. I'm just saying I'm helping people acknowledge they do live in that space, and I'm a bridge. Mm. And so I'm just saying I acknowledge you. I don't want to go too far with it and be like, dad, if y'all feel like I'm promoting some nonsense, I take that back because that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to present common ground.
Mm.
And sometimes I may get it wrong. Just like in somebody's desire to be righteous, they may go too far, be judgmental. They're going to get it wrong. We wired different. Some people are prophets. Some people are priests. I'm in a priest stage in my life. You know what I'm saying? Somebody may be in a prophetic stage in their life where they want to preach to everybody, this going to happen and you need to stop this. That's cool. We need that. But you may be being too judgmental. Like, that's where you're going to drop the ball. And me trying to be a priest, I'm more loving. Hey, bro, what's going on with you? Let's talk. Let's build. What you got going on? Man, I was at Magic City. I spent all my money. I was on cocaine, bro. I'm not going to judge you. Come on, come to the crib. Let's talk about it. Let's da-da-da-da. Now, I may drop the ball and be too accommodating. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I'm making him feel like...
It's okay.
It's cool. I get it. We both going to drop the ball in areas, but that's why we need each other. Mm. Yeah.
Do you think... Because it's funny, speaking of judgmental, I feel like... Maybe because I'm older and I see better now, but like I feel like in today's age, we see so many critiques of like Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember like, I think you said like, you were getting compared to him at one point in your career,
yeah.
But you wanted to like run away from that.
Yeah, for sure.
Was that because you were judging him at a time?
No, I wasn't really judging him. I just didn't want people to put me in that gospel box. Because I was like, that's, like Kirk, I don't think I ever really judged Kirk for real. Like, he was in his own lane. And I was like, yo, you in your own lane. I just don't want to be seen as baby Kirk Franklin because I'm doing, like, oh, Kirk did a song with this celebrity. Lecrae doing a song. Like, he breaking ground like Kirk. But now I see it as a sign of respect. I see what they were saying. They was giving me honor.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I was like, don't put me in that box. Because Kirk from the hood, but he churchy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not churchy.
Yeah.
I don't even know how churchy works. You know what I'm saying? So, but there's people who are churchy. I used to be a little bit judgmental against churchy people. I'm not going to lie to you on that. Just because it was weird to me. I just didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, bro, you 25 years old. Why you wearing suits and saying, blessed brother, highly favored?
Live a little.
Yeah, I was like, it's weird to me, bro. It's strange. Like, I love God. I don't dress like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just didn't want to be seen as churchy. That's really the biggest thing.
I was wondering, do you see the difference now that you have the success that you have, right?
Yeah.
He has the success that he has. He's a legend for sure.
Yeah.
Do you see more similarities than differences?
Oh, yeah.
When you first come out, you like, man, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Time. Big time. I totally get it. And then now we friends. Like, that's like big bro.
Mm.
So now it's like, I get it even more. You know, like, I'm like, I see how we both thinking and processing, and we got similar missions, you know, and just in terms of how we move, and you're going to get a lot of flack for that because people are not going to understand your mission, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, for him, he like, y'all think we lame? I'm going to show you what lame is because he's really a musical genius. People don't realize that. Like, mainstream artists looked at him because he was a genius. But he's like, I'm going to use all my genius for the kingdom. And most people won't do that. Like, most of the most talented Christians in music, they like, nah, I can't do that. Because it's way more love over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot. Like, you'd be surprised at how many people are solid, God-fearing followers of Jesus, but they the biggest artists in some whole other area. But they like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I can't put all my yacht in that little pond over there, I can't do that. Mm. So Kirk's like, I'm putting my whole yacht in this pond. So y'all going to be like, yeah, you got to respect that.
Mm.
You got to respect that. And so my mission is similar in a sense of just like, we don't fit in the box you want us to fit in. Like, take us out that box. Like, I don't really fool with church. I don't really fool with God. I don't know about, man, God don't really speak to me. I do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They don't really make music. I do. And nobody really, I do. What you gonna say now?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? They don't really be in the prisons, I do. What you gonna say? You know
it's crazy saying? Because as much as you try not to be in that box, you still got people that make little statements of like, what somebody said, you couldn't be a mainstream rapper, so like you decided be a gospel rapper.
It's
like,
I hate that one.
Oh, you ain't that cool, so you could just be cool over here.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, what do y'all be thinking, bro?
Yeah, you weren't good enough for varsity, so you JV All-Star. You know
just do JV All-Star.
Yeah.
Like, what, bro? Like, nah. That'd be crazy.
If this is JV, I chose it. I didn't, like, I could have played varsity. Mm-hmm. I decided not to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you overseas with it, huh? You didn't make the league. Like, nah, I chose to play overseas. You know what I'm saying? I saw the value here and wanted to be here. This wasn't second choice for me. This was my first choice. And I remember when I was making my first album, I'd be in the studio with a lot of producers and stuff, and they would be like, bro, you sure you want to do it just for God? And I was like, absolutely. It was like, you kind of dope, though.
Oh, light bulb just went off. Hold up. Didn't you turn down a... a Kendrick Lamar song or something like that?
So I didn't turn it down. What I did was I didn't pursue it. So Kendrick said, when me and you do a record together, that's going to be the world. And I never pursued it because I was too concerned about our relationship. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want him to feel like I'm only over here so I can get that feature. So I never brought it up. I never said nothing. I never, like, we would talk on a regular basis. He asked me questions, blah, 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 blah. Nah, bro, I'm not. Because at the time, I felt like, and I don't know how, if I would have done anything different, I don't know. But at the time, I felt like, because I remember us having this conversation about Bob Marley, and I was like, bro, at the time, I just felt like God was doing something special with him. And I was like, man, I don't want to encroach on that. I don't want to, like, you got enough people pulling at you. So for me, it was like, nah, I'm not pushing that button at all.
So given what just transpired, do you regret that?
I don't regret it because it would have been a moment in history. But it's like lots of people have a Kendrick, Rich the Kid got a Kendrick feature. It's a moment in history. It's not like it solidifies you or makes you somebody. I think I'm just grateful to be like, man, I know Buddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful to be like, yo, I know K-Dot. I'm grateful to be like, I got to witness a juggernaut in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of skill and craftsmanship, he could grow as a man as we all could. You know what I'm saying? He not otherworldly to me, but he is a rap juggernaut. He is an Avenger.
So do you still listen to rap music?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, bro, Christians, like, you're not supposed to listen to secular music.
Some of them, I mean, I got a podcast coming out about that.
Hey, I don't know, man. I just got to try it, like, I'm being careful. So,
yeah.
Since you do listen to rap music, did you think Drake stood any chance against Kendrick Lamar? No.
No?
Not a small chance.
Nah.
Oh, he was crazy.
Drake is a great rapper, but Kendrick's from the culture. You see what I'm saying? Like, like, you can... this is my opinion. Hot take. Drake is a phenomenal rapper. And Ghost Riders aside, he's a great rapper. I know he can really rap. But Drake is a fan of the culture. Kendrick is a product of the culture. It's a difference. Like, it's like, it's why the USA keep winning in basketball overseas, because it's like, now we built it. We started this. We made this. Y'all are fans of this. And it's going to come a day, like, now it's a part of their culture. Now it's a part of the fabric of Europe, where it's like, all right, y'all ain't to be played with no more. You know what I'm saying? I think Drake is the beginning of, like, that Euro League. Like, he the first one to be like, nah, this is really global now, homie. But to me, hip-hop is, it ain't even about global. Let me retract that. This is what I'll say. It ain't about global. Hip-hop, rap music has pretty much always been about people coming from the trenches, dealing with some trauma, some pain, the struggle.
Yeah.
It's why Eminem can gets the rock like that, because he really come from that. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to pop it like that if you don't really come from that. It's hard to have that dog in you if that's not, you know what I'm saying? If your mama was making you lunch as an adult, it's hard to just pop it like that, bro. It's just, it just ain't the same.
Yo, you is crazy.
It just ain't the same, bro.
I'm letting you go. This is going to be a crazy clip, but you going crazy. I'm like,
nah, I'm not going to get no Drake feature, so it don't bother me. Like,
so you want, if Drake was like, yeah, I'm trying to do this song with Lecrae, you wouldn't do it?
Depends on what the song's about.
Okay.
I mean, if we talk on some neutral territory, for sure. So, I still think he's a dope artist. Don't get it twisted. I think he's a dope artist. He not cut from that cloth.
So basically you're saying Kendrick Lamar is the NFL and Drake is Canadian League.
I don't know about Canadian League. no slight to nobody in the Canadian League. That's a big gap.
That's a crazy
gap. That gap is crazy. I ain't putting them in. I'm saying, like, Serbia or France versus Team USA.
All right.
I'm basketball. I'm saying the gap ain't that wide. Like, Europeans, they balling right now. But I'm just saying, as a whole, like, we started it. Like, it's our thing. So that's why we've been so dominant at it. I'm just saying, as far as rap is concerned, you still gotta have that. It gotta be in you, not just on you.
I can't even say, you're right, man. I personally thought Drake was gonna hold it down. I had to make a public apology, man. Kendrick got him out the way. But you got some new music coming.
Yeah, I got some new music.
What you got coming up, man?
I'm cooking on an album right now. So the album
number 11.
You know what I'm saying? I guess that's number 11. You counting? I didn't even know. That's crazy. 11 is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, cooking on an album. Always trying to reinvent myself. Always trying to grow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I took a page from Ye's book on that, in terms of just like how he's able to have the longevity he's had. He just always, it's a new version of him every time you come into contact. So you like, what's going to happen this time? But I got a new single called Lift Me Up with my guy Beam. And, you know, that'll be coming down, the pipeline. And it's more of that type of talk of just like, man, I still need God in the midst of the pain and the struggle to lift me up. I still need to believe that he got me, even when it gets ugly. And true story, because I don't care. I've been in the game so long, I give away the secrets. But true story, my guy Beam, so there was a reggae artist named Papa San who was big in Jamaica, then he became a Christian. And he was big in like Christian reggae scene. His son is Beam. Beam did a lot of production for us over the years, some songs with us. But then he became a big writer. He started writing for Bieber, Rihanna, everybody. So he wrote this song, this hook for Ye. And thinking like Ye's going down this spiritual path. And then Ye went a whole nother way.
Yeah.
And so Beam had this hook, this idea. And he was like, him and his team was like, we feel like you should have this. So I heard it. The production and the hook alone, I would say, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And I could hear how it would fit Ye so well. But thank you, Kanye, thank you for wilding.
I'm about to say, because you was wilding. You was bucking right now.
Not thank you for wilding, but for saying no.
This guy going crazy. Like, thank you for walking away from.
Nah. Let me say saying that.
This thing is crazy.
But just saying that, hey, this song is nuts.
Yo, wait. All 11 projects, all your projects, I'm gonna let you go to them. What, it's on your own label?
Yeah. So we did one joint venture with Columbia, but it wasn't like they had ownership, you know what I'm saying? So we still retain ownership, but we just did a joint venture with them to see how it would work.
So and all your stuff is like independent?
100%.
Whew.
100%.
You got a lot of money, bro.
I mean... Just do it independently.
How them
way,
ties
man.
Look, bro? You still topping tippers?
Do it independent. My pastor loves me, man.
I bet he do. God, jeez.
Nah, man. I will say this, man. Like, in whatever you do, if you can't have some sort of, partnership, co-ownership, ownership, something, it's gonna be beneficial for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's just. I don't care if you selling socks online, like, it's just going to be a better situation for you, because then you get to, like, be in charge of how you interact with the people, get the people exactly what they want. And it's not just about retaining 100% of it. It's about having creative control and having it go out the way that you want. I'll take, a percentage of something if I'm an owner in it, if I know that my voice is heard in what we doing. But just to be like, yeah, I'm just here as a, riding on your train, wherever your train goes, and that's where I gotta go. I've just never been about that life.
Bro, I know I gotta let you go, bro. I got so many more questions, bro. Maybe you could do part two. Quick question for my business. B-side, what is that?
B-side is...
Don't give me the commercial spill.
Nah, so I have a podcast called The Deep End.
Mm-hmm.
The Deep End, obviously you can see it on YouTube, but then there's also an app called The B-side where there's a group of us who have different podcasts. And it's like where faith and culture intersect. And we call it The B-side. It's an app where it's like You get behind the scenes. You get exclusive information. You get some lessons. It goes deeper. So maybe you heard something on one of the podcasts and you like, yo, that was fire. Well, there's a whole lesson that go with it. Or maybe you want to hear some conversations with us. Like, you listen to his podcast, you listen to her podcast, you listen to mine. And maybe you want to hear a whole conversation. So like Michelle Williams from Destiny Child, my guy Tim Ross, myself, we sat down, we had a conversation. But you get access to that on the B-Side app. And you get all of that, you know what I'm saying?
But you are part owner.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, like, bro, you had some stake in this.
Ooh. Well, I mean.
Hey, can I get some sponsorship dollars, bro? You want me promoted on it?
Look, clearly you sponsored.
I mean, yeah, but I mean.
Clearly you sponsored.
I need some more sponsors.
Is Bel-Air signed back there? I can't get these kind. This is where the money at. They won't sponsor me. I'm too safe.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want
I need some more sponsors, man.
I need some
more sponsors. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
I'm like the B-side. Like, it look good.
You clean it up a little bit. I'm trying to tell you, people don't be realizing, man. I be like, boy, when you profanity free, you don't be realizing the doors that open for you. Them phone calls from the Hawks.
That's my next. All right, cool. That's my next goal. I'm profanity free, but the tequila up, all right? I'm saying that's the next goal. We're trying to get this bag, man. But nah, bro, I appreciate you for real.
Nah, it's all love, man. It's good. Good question.
Any missed opportunities, anything we miss on?
Nah, man. Just make sure you check out the B-side, check out the Deep End podcast. You know, look forward to the new album, the new single Lift Me Up, featuring Beams on the way. And yeah, man, stay tuned. You know what I mean?
My guy Lecrae, man, J Hill podcast is a wrap. We out.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.